But let's see how we go. And also, thank you very much, everybody, for giving your comments. I think that really helps, because this is really going to evolve into the analysis section of our report. And so we should be trying to all turn our minds to identifying the issues that we want to explore in the review as it progresses. So thank you. I don't know whether other people found it, but because of the formatting of the document, sometimes, certainly when I printed mine out, the questions kind of went over some of the other text. Did anybody else find that, or was that just me?
Hi, it's Peter here. Yeah, that was, I think, a problem we had in setting up the document initially.
Yeah.
We couldn't figure out how to fix that. So, yeah, it might need a bit of an edit at the finish, I think, to line all the boxes and the text up properly.
Yeah, I think it's just, it actually reads fine on the screen. It's more about legibility at this stage than looks. I can see that the version we've got in the Adobe room is actually nice and clear, whereas the one I printed out is not. Before we start going through, and my proposal is just to literally sort of hover on all of the bits where we've got suggested text and have a discussion about them. Would anybody like to make any general points about the document or about our approach? Okay, I'll take that as a no. So the first edit that we have is in the introduction. And we've got two bullet points, and we've got the red text there saying meet the legitimate needs or requirements of law enforcement. Now, I think this one's quite straightforward, because I think this is just a quotation, isn't it, from the AOC? Anybody?
Again, this is Peter here. Yeah, it was taken as a direct quote from the AOC originally.
Yeah. So shouldn't we stick to that language? Can anyone see what the... Can anyone remind us? I thought it was needs, but I might be wrong. James?
Yeah, it is directly saying needs in the AOC, and also I think requirements almost implies that there's some external, rules or regulations that need to be complied with. So I think needs is the word that we want.
I think so too. Shall we just change that to needs, given I think this is uncontentious, given that it is a quotation from the AOC. I think we're going to have some more more fun later on, but can we just agree that one? Okay, moving on.
Emily.
Yeah.
This is all of the way we've sort of edited the comments is that we start with first comes what was originally in the document, if there is something like that. So, and then all in red, within square brackets, with my WTO experience, I use that, and slash for, and then comes alternatives or the editing. That's the way we construed it.
Thank you very much for that, Olof. And may I say, I found that a very helpful way of doing it, because it distills all of the comments that have been made into one place. It removes any sort of personal attribution, which I think is helpful, because it just makes us concentrate on the text. So thank you very much for that explanation and for the work. So I think that the next edit that we have is in the section headed background on who is. And we've got various alternatives here. The text reads, WHOIS is a protocol that enables users to find information about, and this is the original, I think it originally read about internet resources, including domain names, IP address blocks, and autonomous systems. And then we've got various suggestions either those who run and those who own, or entities responsible for, or a suggestion that we delete the additional text, or that we go to the who is sort of fields called registrant, administrative contact, and technical contact. I think there's a billing contact as well, actually. And those who operate and who own. So does anybody want to come in on this? Peter?
Just to add another option, I guess. The original text was the owners of. I think in some of the original edits, some of the original text disappeared from track changes as well. So
okay.
I'm not sure how that happened. Yeah, that was okay. The original wording.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Lutz?
Yeah, and in the ICANN annual report from 2009, there's a newest definition, which is a little bit better than ours here. It's voted, WHOIS began as a lookup service to enable internet operators to find one other and communicate directly if abnormal in traffic occurs between servers. More correct than our definition here.
Thanks, Ed. Is there any chance that you could grab that text and pop it up somewhere in the chat or in the Adobe room?
Yes, we'll do.
Thank you. And then we can have a look at it. James, please go ahead.
Well, just going through this list here, I mean, I think that while specific, listing out the individual types of contacts are probably cumbersome. And in fact, we probably are missing some types, for example, in sponsored TLDs where there are various eligibility contacts. For example, .asia, I think, has a specific charter eligibility contact or something like that. So, so there are more types here, so I think that would be cumbersome and we would never really get that list correct. I just have an opposition to anything that implies ownership when we're discussing domain names in particular. So, you know, if we want to delete this and just go back to the original efficient text, I think that's fine. You know, otherwise, there's a couple of other options in there. What happened to my, I lost the ability to, there we go. So, yeah, I mean, I think entities responsible was my suggestion. It's not perfect, but I think that, you know, it does as well as some of the others.
I've also just, Kathy sent me through some sort of additional comments or, you know, for this call because she knew that she might not be able to join us. She felt that she liked your description, James, those who own or operate, but I think that you were saying that anything that talks about ownership is quite a contentious concept in the context of domain names, isn't it? Is that what you were saying?
Yes, and my just to be clear, my recommendation here was entities responsible for, and I think the key word is being responsible.
Entities responsible for. Okay. Right. Thank you. Can we just turn our mind to the text that Lutz has found, which is, I think it's actually up there without any spaces. I think it says, WHOIS began as a lookup service to enable internet operators to find one another and communicate directly if abnormalities in traffic occur between servers. What do we think about that?
This is Bill Smith. I don't know where that came from, but I am not sure that is accurate.
Okay, it's from the ICANN annual report, Bill 09.
Right, so but if you go back and actually look at the RFCs, that's not what they say.
Okay.
It was an information search. It was to find people.
Yeah.
And servers and other things.
I think that might be captured in to enable internet operators to find one another. But this is, Lutz has put it up there to help us. If we don't find it helpful, we don't need to accept it. Peter?
I just wanted to, I'm not sure, I know we're talking about the first sentence, but the text which Lutz has put up seems to do some of the, or similar work to the next paragraph, which actually quotes the current RFC, and I think my preference would be to stick with what the current RFC actually says.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill?
Are you in the Adobe room, Bill?
I am not. I am in Geneva and without access presently.
Well, let's do what you're doing and just shout out when you want to come in. If there's a queue of people, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So my preference would be for the current language. And I believe Susan had a recommendation for a change on the those who own or whatever the other proposed language was. I would be okay with that.
Okay. At the moment, I think that we've been talking around... can we talk around the proposal of entities responsible for... I think the point, if I can just... James was wary about trying to get a definitive list because we're bound to get it wrong, and not all Whois lookups follow the same format. So that would sort of eliminate the registrant administrative contact, that sort of list. We've got those who run and those who own. An alternative is entities responsible for, and another alternative is those who operate and who own. And I think, Lynn, you're saying that you like those who operate. That's right. Can we just talk about... Somebody want to come in? I heard a sort of...
This is Susan. I'd like to start.
Hi, Susan. Yeah. Please go ahead.
So my concern is if we introduce new terms, everybody recognizes the term registrant. We may not use it to go to administrative contact and technical contact, but there is a registrant for every domain name, and that's perceived as the legal owner. But if we start using other terms, I think we're going to either confuse people or invite a lot of discussion around that. What does that really mean? I mean, we are already confused because of proxy registration. So however we decide to define this, I think we need to be extremely clear and very identify it in a way that the whole world's going to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think Lynn is endorsing that point that you're making.
Emily, this is Bill.
Yes, go ahead, Bill, please.
If there isn't anybody else in the queue.
There isn't anybody else in the queue.
Okay. I mean, as I read it, I mean, I could live with again, what Susan has suggested. I really believe that the protocol, right, is enabling users to find information about the resources, not the individuals. Okay? It's the, you know, I want to know about the resource. I want to know about the domain name. I want to know who to contact, right, for that domain name, for those IP address blocks, or for those autonomous systems. And I really don't care who it is, what their phone number is, or any other information about them. So I want information about the resource.
Mm-hmm. Bill, this is Susan. I don't quite get that, and it could be because I've been asleep for 2 hours and just woke up.
You can come back and correct anything later. You were very cogent just now.
Well, thank you. But I mean, we want to know about the resource. So what does that really mean? What are you looking at? Is it the telephone number, the email address? All of that is extremely important in the day-to-day work I do.
And Susan, for me as well, but it is, I'm not trying to find, I want to make the distinction between finding information about the contact and the resource, the server, okay? The lookup is not done by the individual. The lookup is done by the domain name, the address block, the autonomous server.
Okay.
That's what the information is about.
Thanks, Bill. I've got James and Lutz waiting to come in. Go ahead, please, James.
Hi. So James speaking, and I think that what Bill is getting at is that we have a single pivot data point, which is the domain name or the address block or whatever the resource is. We cannot start a Whois query by, let's say, a phone number. I know there are some additional value-added services out there that provide that, but that's not how it's defined. I think the problem I have with using registrant or registered name holder or listing out the various contacts is not that I feel that they're incorrect, it's that I feel that they're limiting when we're talking about things that are not domain names. I'm not sure how that applies or if those terms are interchangeable when we talk about things like IP address blocks. So I think that we can stick to, those who operate Internet resources or those responsible for Internet resources or the parties or entities or something like that, because we don't want to assume that there are people. I just feel pretty strongly, I think, and I may be vehemently agreeing with Bill that the focus is on the resource, and that because the resource could be something other than a domain name, that I don't know that registrant or registered name holder fits.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Before I go to Lutz, can I just say that, the objective of this paragraph, the background on Whois, is to just give a very, very general introduction. We go in, as the paper progresses, we talk in more detail. So I think that, James, you've got two people, Peter and Sharon, liking what you're suggesting, the original suggestion that you made of entities responsible for. Lutz, can I go to you, please?
What we have now is a discussion of use cases. We have a discussion who is using who is for which purpose, and we can't come to a conclusion in this short call here. So I'd like to postpone this discussion at all on these points, only to go in some details here. I have a different use case for Whois than somebody else. I'm technical people, so I'm looking for technical information, who contact, what's the phone number of the person. So my needs are different from others.
Yeah.
And that's the point of the controversy here.
Thank you. Thank you, Lutz. And I think that that's very much coming out from the different interventions, is that people are using Whois in different ways. Can I ask you a question, Lutz? If you had, just think about your use case as you describe it, would the word, Whois is a protocol that enables users to find information about entities responsible for internet resources, including domain names, IP address blocks, and autonomous systems. Can I just let you think about that while I go to Susan? Does it work for you? In other words, Susan, please go ahead.
So, and following that line of thinking, and really James and Bill too, I think if we went back to the original text, which you just suggested, I would feel more comfortable about that because it limits it. We're not confusing people on what we're looking for, information about Internet resources, whether that be a domain name, IP address block, an autonomous system. I'm just not comfortable with starting to define other parts of what could be everybody's record.
Yeah, I think actually, Susan, we're all kind of coming at it from the same point, you know, perhaps
mm-hmm.
different perspectives, but we all are expressing the same discomfort at trying to nail down individual cases in for the fear that we are going to lose other cases. Lutz, please go ahead.
The first sentence here, who is the protocol that enables users to find information, it's not very specific to who is serviced at all. We can say web or HTTP is a protocol that enables users to find information. That's why I propose to go back to the ICANN introduction of Whois. It's not the definition of Whois from the annual report. It's an introduction to say what's the purpose of Whois. What was designed to which problem was it designed to solve? Mm. As an introductional sentence, an introductional paragraph to Whois, I would expect the purpose, not a protocol. And then we can go down saying, yes, we have a protocol which enables us to do some information research. We have on the San Francisco meeting, we had a session about technical involvement of Whois protocol. It goes away from the protocol described in this RFC.
Okay, I think, Lutz, people have considered the text that you very kindly found on that, and certain people expressed some difficulties with it. So I think what I'd like us to all focus on now is two proposals. One, that we completely eliminate all of the text in red, and we just go, Whois is a protocol that enables users to find information about internet resources, blah, blah, blah. Two, Whois is a protocol that enables users to find information about entities responsible for internet resources, blah, blah, blah. So can we do, using our little ticky things, and Bill, you can just shout, who prefers... James, either is fine by me. Who prefers the first one, which is to eliminate all of the red text?
Well, I have a slight preference for the elimination, but I can live with either.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Anybody feel strongly? James, what are you thinking?
I'm just agreeing with Bill and the elimination
okay.
of the red text.
Okay, let's go for the elimination of the red text. Okay.
And putting me on the spot like that is going to be less effective as the night wears on, so I may be snoring the next time that happens.
So how's the dog training going?
He's already asleep, so...
Thank you. Thanks for the warning, and sorry to put you on the spot. Okay, in the next paragraph, the first element is... Oh, can I just say, before we go on, I'm going to need to finish shortly after the hour, because I have another meeting. I should have asked at the beginning, how long can people stay on this call?
I have to drop probably in about 10 minutes, and then I'll try and pick back up on my mobile so I can get up to the venue.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Shall we just aim to finish on the hour, and we'll go as far as we can, and then we'll make a plan. Okay, so the next paragraph is... the current version of the Whois protocol, RFC 3912, and then we have red text, either for generic top-level domains, GTLDs, or alternatively delete this. Before we start discussing that, I was just noticing one of the comments to the public comment that we made was from the New Zealand registry, the CCTLD from New Zealand, and they they did want us to make it clear that we're not examining who is in CCTLDs. So I just thought I'd sort of remind people of that public comment before we discuss. Any comments on this?
This is Bill. The reason I suggested the deletion is really around the specificity mm-hmm. of the statement, who is protocol with the RFC number. Right? Mm-hmm. It is about all of the things that have been listed above. I have no problem with us putting a comment in that we are focusing on GTLDs as a review team. Mm. But I just think it's misplaced.
Okay, thank you. I've got Peter, James, and then Sharon. And I'm just going to swap handsets because I need to plug my computer in. So if I disappear for a bit, that's why. Peter, please go ahead.
I guess in the way it's currently drafted, I would just echo Bill's point because the current version of the WHOIS protocol is obviously broader. I note that in the first part of the introduction, which we've moved past, we actually narrow the review team's focus to just focusing on GTLDs. But if we think we need something, an additional clarification down here, then I would not be opposed to it. I just think the way that it's done at the moment is probably just in the wrong spot.
Okay, thank you. I've got James next. Thanks.
Thanks, James speaking, and I think I'm going to echo Bill and Peter. It's probably in the wrong place. It's implied since we're operating within ICANN, to some extent, and I think that if you were to be able to find one single solitary CCTLD that referenced that RFC and its technical specifications, then it would invalidate that part of the report. So it doesn't belong here, so I favor deletion.
Okay, thank you. Sharon?
Well, I'm going against the grain, and I think it does need to be put in somewhere. New readers, I mean, for people who have been involved in this for years, they would know that that's implicit. But for other people, it wouldn't. And there's lots of country code activity going on in the UK, and this is a different bit of work. So I would like it somewhere in the report.
Okay, I think that... So if I can summarise, there's... There are several people wanting to delete the four generic top-level domains, but nobody is against a statement saying that the... and perhaps I can suggest that this goes up in the scope, actually, the discussion of the scope. In fact, look, there it is. We've got existing WHOIS policy in the generic top-level domains and its implementation. So we've got that statement... that it's limited to the generic namespace rather than CC namespace. So on that basis, Sharon, would you be comfortable with us taking it out here?
Yes.
Thank you. So let's delete that then.
Emily, this is Bill. I'm going to have to drop for a bit.
Thank you.
I'll try and call back in. I'm comfortable with that. I'm also happy if that gets strengthened or there's some addition put elsewhere. Okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Sure thing.
And maybe speak to you later, but we're probably all going to stop on the hour anyway. And,
right.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye.
Look, go ahead, please.
Just to fill Wilfried's place here, of course, we have to concentrate on the GTLDs. Everything out is out of our scope. So putting the head of the ASO again up and be quieter.
Yeah, so thanks. I think we're all happy to be clear that that is our focus. And if we need to add additional language that that makes it clear we're not in other spaces, then we can do that. Okay, now let's just consider all of these bullet points that go from the bottom of the page over the next page. This is probably the one that's got the most heat in it, if I can put it like that. Peter, did you want to come in and make a comment?
Yeah, just on the bullet points, I noticed that I just wanted to add my voice to, I think it was James's original suggestion that perhaps the list was getting a little lengthy now. And if it's sort of got to the length where it's starting to look like it should be an exhaustive list, so perhaps we just replace it with some sort of very brief non-contentious statements or... my personal feeling is the list is starting to get a little unwieldy.
Okay, thanks for that, Peter. Does anybody feel strongly against what Peter said? No, I don't think anybody is disagreeing with you, Peter, and certainly that seems sensible. Do you have some alternative language for us to... I think that in your email the other day, you might have suggested some alternative language for us to consider. I don't quite have it in front of me.
I might do a very quick fishing exercise now. I had a feeling James put forward some alternative
text. Oh, was it you, James? Okay, James wants to come in now, so maybe you can help us out
with that. Yes, it was just kind of taking a rough swing at it, and it's down there at the bottom where it says just to state that, who is facilitates identification and communication or something like that.
Just to
really just summarize all of the motives or reasons why someone may want to identify or communicate with a responsible party, I think that that's a rabbit hole. I think that we'll never get to the end of that. I think that just saying that we want to, it's a mechanism to do that and not talk about why someone would want to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Peter?
Thanks for finding that text, James. I was just looking at what's already in the background about it sort of providing, contact information, and it's a white pages, just so that if we add a sentence at the end and that it adds something, we could potentially say who is currently facilitates identification and communication for a range of purposes, something like that, and then we don't go into the list, we just say that we know that there is a range.
Yeah. Thank you. So the text we're considering is, who is facilitates identification and communication for a range of purposes? Can we have some ticks or crosses on that, please?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi, it's Bill. I'm back.
Hello,
I'm going to go
Bill.
On to you.
Oh, hi. Sorry. Okay, what we're, just to bring you up to date, we've been thinking about the bullet points that go from the bottom of the page over the page. And actually, there seems to be a surprisingly high level of consensus that the list has now become too long and that we should probably... because we're not going to manage to get an exhaustive description of all of the things that people use WHOIS for, that the alternative that's being proposed is to delete the bulleted list and say WHOIS facilitates identification and communication for a range of purposes. Okay. Peter, you've got your hand up. Do you want to come in?
Oh, whoops, sorry. I probably just forgot to take it down.
Okay. Look...
WHOIS does also serves for purposes outside the identification. It also serves for technical resources, for lookup of technical resources like name servers, like autonomous systems, origin information, and something like this.
Yeah.
So we have some purpose outside of the scope of identification.
Yeah, and would that be captured by the word communication, Lutz? Or do we... Because
I have a little bit of problems. I'd like to have an additional point, communication and technical resource lookup.
Could we do this? Could we do WHOIS facilitates identification, communication, and technical resource lookup for a range of purposes? How about this? facilitates identification and communication for a range of purposes, including technical resource lookup. But I think if we start to break out the individual use cases, we're all going to want ours in there. Technical queries. James is suggesting technical queries to capture that point.
No, I don't think that works.
Okay.
I
think that it's probably contained within the concept of communication. Myself.
I mean, if I could, this is... I'm sorry, I should put my hand up.
No, go ahead, James. Thank you.
So, yeah, I was just thinking that I think that Blitz is correct that there's, there's, for example, name server information there. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't be using Whois to make a DNS query. So... it seems like it wouldn't necessarily be I guess it could be an automated function. It just wouldn't seem like it would be a programmatic function. But anyway, I'll just let it go. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I think that I'm sensing that we've got a relatively high level of comfort with deleting the bullet points and going for Whois facilitates identification and communication for a range of purposes. Lutz, I take your point. I think we all do. You're happy with that? I think I'm seeing lots of ticks, so let's go for that text. So delete the bullet points and put in that alternative text. Thank you. I think actually that resolves a nice big chunky one for us. okay. Alice, could we just record that decision, please? Thank you. Okay, now I'm on page 4. And we've got some red text under clarity of existing policy. Now, we start with saying the affirmation of commitments.
Oh, excuse me, Emily, this is Lynn. I don't know if Alice caught the end of that.
Okay, Alice, do you want us to just repeat what we agreed?
Yes, sure. I was with the Alberta, sorry.
Okay. So the agreed text is Whois, it's basically the alternative at the bottom of those bullet points with the addition of the following word. So it'll be Whois facilitates identification and communication for a range of purposes.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're inserting the alternative text with the addition of. Thank you. Great. Thanks a lot, Lynn, for helping out on that one.
And no worries.
Okay, let's go for page 4, clarity of existing policy. We talk about the affirmation of commitments, the 2007 GAC principles, and then we've got various bids for other stuff to talk about. The existing contracts between ICANN, the registries and registrars, delete. And then there's a note, I'm not sure I looked at this and I wasn't quite sure what it meant. It says ICANN contracts should govern all other related contracts. So
Emily, that was me. This is Susan.
Oh, hi, Susan. Thank you. Could you?
And there was actually some other comments and talking about contracts between like resellers and proxies and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so that was not wording. I was suggesting my own thought process that
I think,
you know,
James is owning up to say it was his.
Mm.
Can you help us, James?
I think so, or make it worse. Sure, I can
probably. Okay, make it worse.
Okay, so you know, I think that there are contracts between ICANN and a variety of entities. We call, you know, colloquially, we call them the contracted parties. But then those parties also have contracts with one another. Sometimes ICANN contracts will require them to include certain provisions in those contracts or require them to have a contract in place. Like I'm thinking of the registration agreement where it says you will have an agreement with all of your registered name holders and you will include this bit about UDRP and some of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that you can say, I mean, short of those examples, I don't know that you can say in a blanket statement that, you know, whatever contract an ICANN, you know, a party may have with ICANN governs all other contracts that they may enter into with parties that may or may not have contracts with ICANN. I don't know how that works.
No. Can I just tell you a thing that I struggled with about mentioning the contracts in this context is that the sentence here is talking about providing high-level principles that are intended to inform who is policy development. And I'm not sure, oh, sorry, and its implementation. So I suppose the contracts cover implementation. Is that the thought? Do you see what, am I just confusing everybody?
This is Lynn. I do think of contracts as an implementation mm-hmm. of policy. And since we're charged with evaluating the effectiveness of the implementation, you know, I think maybe in some other areas it's appropriate to mention contracts, but to me, the way it's suggested here, it almost implies that the contracts are the policy rather than implementation of policy.
Mm. Okay, Peter, can you help us?
I really have no idea, but I think Lynn probably just said what I wanted to say. Like, I think putting the contracts in here, it may be even more than what Lynn said, it almost suggests that the contracts are above policy and then that the policies are then informed by what's in the contracts. And I know we operate in it, we're unfortunately operating, or we just are operating in an unusual situation where... To my mind, there aren't very clear principles which then flow down to policies which then flow down to implementation, which are contracts. And I think in my mind that's what this section was trying to draw out. So there appear to be two things which are potentially high-level principles, and then the question is, do they flow into contracts and then into policies, and then do the policies sort of flow down into contracts? I think putting the contracts up at the top is a bit confusing. So I guess I'm agree. Long-winded way of saying I agree with Lynn.
Okay. Thank you. Susan?
I was just wondering who added the contracts language. Maybe we could get their perspective on why they...
It may be Kathy. Let me just have a look. James, can you help?
No, I was thinking same thing. I'm not sure why it's here. My comment was just to clarifying. I wasn't supporting the inclusion of the word contract. I just wanted to make sure that if it was there, we got it right. But I mean, if we want to get rid of it, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
That was sort of my thing too, because I felt like once again, if we add too much detail, we could go down that rabbit hole again.
I think it might have been Kathy who added it, and she's actually written to me to say, agree, let's delete this insert for the reasons stated in the comments. So I think we're all pretty comfortable with deleting that. So shall we delete these words?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yay, we've agreed something. Okay. Now, I've just managed to completely lose the Adobe room and absolutely everything else, but we can agree those.
This is Olaf. May I just clarify one thing?
Yes.
The first part of this was actually in the original. That is why there is a comma between affirmation of commitments, comma, GAC principles, and the existing contracts. So these were comments... relating to the first text in square brackets.
Thank you. Okay.
But also, We only exceptionally put in the actual comments as notes. We didn't do that consistently because then it becomes pretty unwieldy.
Yeah.
So occasionally you will see something, a note, which is not a suggestion to edit, but just a comment. Mm. But we didn't do that consequently.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, just a comment. This to follow on from what Olaf was saying, this is one of those unusual things which I think happened in one of the early edits where some of the edits weren't in track changes.
Mm-hmm.
So the original version, there isn't a comma between the AOC and GAC principles. It says the affirmation of principles and the GAC principles appear to provide blah, blah, blah. So it was just one of the unusual things. That this is another one of those things that I think that happened in one of the early edits. I'm not sure how or who, but, something wasn't put into track.
I see. So I think we've all agreed that we go back to the affirmation of commitment, paragraph, blah-de-blah, insert and 2007 GAC principles, and then go on to appear to provide high-level principles. The one thing I want to ask about this, so I think that we're there on that, aren't we? The one of the things that really has come out and absorbed us a lot in our San Francisco meeting is that we haven't really found a statement of policy. Is the text clear enough that's what we think? Okay.
This is Bill, if I can jump in.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. I've got James, Peter, and Lynn, but can we go to Bill first, because I know you're on your mobile, so.
Right. I don't think it's clear enough if we are making that determination, but I don't think it's time to make that determination yet.
Okay,
this isn't the final report. This is a discussion.
Yeah. And actually, it might be that it's there somewhere, we've just missed it, and the questions will lead us to it. James, Peter, then Lynn.
Okay, so I think that the first part of what Bill is saying is I don't think that it is sufficient, and I don't know that we necessarily just yield to the GAC to make that determination for us. So, and maybe I've blurred two together here, but I just think that... That's not the end-all, be-all of the input on that matter. So, thanks.
Sure. So, are you uncomfortable with the proposed amendments, James, or are you just responding to my question and Bill's comment?
I think I am lining up with Bill on this one.
Okay. Thank you. Peter?
I've sort of lost my train of thought, but I if lining up with Bill means being comfortable with the text with the red stuff deleted, then I'm there. And I agree with Bill that, yeah, I think this is just a question we're asking.
Yeah.
And I note that Lutz has made a few comments in the chat area about he's not sure where some of the AOC wording has come from and how it relates to the policy and the RFC and... You know, it's not in the policies, and I agree, and I think that's the question we're asking. There appears to be these high-level things.
Mm.
We're not sure whether they're in the policies or out of the policies and how the policies relate to this, and it's a little bit confusing, and I guess we're just we're trying to frame up that in terms of a very simple way to ask some questions. So I'm comfortable with the text that we've got with the red stuff out.
Thank you. Thanks, and that's helpful, Peter. And the other comments from Bill and James, very helpful. Lynn, please go ahead.
Yes, I like the question that we have stated there of what measures could ICANN take to clarify its who is policy. And I think that is the question that we're actually discussing.
Yeah.
And so it's a very appropriate discussion question. And I'm thinking that perhaps... you know, the discussion on that question may lead us to a recommendation we can make as part of our review.
That's great. Thank you, Lynn. So I think we're all comfortable that the text sort of will draw out, will either point us to information that we've missed, saying, oh, hang on, it's here, or will help to either make the linkages or point out where things are missing, but it will draw out the information, we hope, from those who engage in the comment. Okay, in the last 10 minutes, let's just start the knotty issue of the next paragraph, which is the section in consensus and lack of consensus on new GTLD, who is policies. I don't think we're going to finish this in the 9 minutes left, but I think that we can at least get our thinking started. Lynn, did you want to come in on this one?
Yes. When I read over this, the body of it, I felt that actually the only thing that indicates a lack of consensus is at the end, and that these numbered points actually were updates to who is policy. Mm. And so I felt perhaps a better title for this section might be updates made, you know, to who is policies, or changes approved to who is policies. And this is a nice summary up until you get to the last paragraph. The last paragraph is the only thing that's not describing an approved update based on consensus.
Thanks a lot, Lynn. Yeah, I had exactly the same realization as I reread it in preparation for this call, actually, that we're talking about board-approved consensus policies which have updated the Who Is policy. James, please.
Yeah, very quickly here. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that some of this was coming in from Kathy, and I think that this was precipitated by a conversation that we had where we were just kind of, you know, in the extreme abstract, we were discussing what elements of Who Is were within the capability of a consensus-driven organization to solve, and what parts of Who Is might be, you know, that might be the wrong tool to try and solve some of those issues as, you know, consensus type of a process. So maybe that's where this is coming from. And I don't want to speculate. Maybe we should just chat with Kathy. But I think that's where we were trying to draw that boundary and say some things can be fixed and some things seem intractable.
If I could say one more thing, then is that looking at this last paragraph again, I feel like you know that. Those issues are actually captured further down in the discussion points we're identifying, because for the purposes of discussion, and this is a discussion paper, rather than restating, you know, where there's been a lack of consensus, I think it's more productive to capture the questions on those very points where there has been a lack of consensus. So that's my thinking, is that just to change the title and delete this last paragraph with the thought that the items in that last paragraph, that we make it a point to have them covered in the discussion points and questions.
Yeah, I mean, can I just, I'm just trying to see whether Kathy updated this. I think that, so what I'm getting to is that we're all quite happy with the numbered list. Can we just take that first?
This is Bill. I'm actually, I remain not pleased with that. I could live with it.
Yeah.
But I believe we're going into policy making here and a discussion on it, and that's beyond our remit.
I agree, Bill. This is Lynn, but if you look at those numbered items, I mean, those are actually updates to who has policy approved by the ICANN board. So this is really just, to me, a summary of updates that the board has made based on consensus.
But from what? Okay. We have not found a policy document, okay, that this starts from. So we're now talking about the policy-making process and the fact by the title implying that there hasn't been much consensus. I think that's incorrect, but I am concerned that we will open up a debate on who is a 10-year debate. So I'm concerned about that, okay? I'm not saying no. I just think we need to be aware of what this may do in terms of the comments that we get.
Right, but these are actual policies, like the annual data reminder policy and the restored names accuracy policy. I mean, these are the prohibition against bulk access. These are actually small policies on who is. They're not the foundation core policy, but they are like little bits of policy that the ICANN board has formally approved and are documented.
Then fine. If we want to put a section in that says who is policy, okay, fine. List them and everything else that is who is policy in there. But in a section headed consensus and lack of consensus, we are drawing attention to the fact that the organization has had extreme difficulty with this issue over a 10-year period and inviting people to comment.
Yeah, that was part of my proposal, Bill, was to change the title of this section.
Yeah. I've got Peter waiting to come in, and go ahead, please.
Thanks. I didn't necessarily want to jump in between that. It was probably a very productive discussion, I think.
It was a very productive discussion.
And I want to agree, I think, with parts of what both have said. Like, I also, and what you said at the beginning, Emily, about, well, maybe it wasn't you at the beginning, but we've got a list here of bits and pieces of policy and then some stuff about a policy that was never appears to have been adopted. I think I tried to allude this in my email, saying that perhaps we can keep the sense of what Kathy wanted to put in here, but avoid some of this detail and potentially contentious parts of it. And I was thinking this through the other day, and I know we probably won't be able to get agreement on this because Kathy suggested this and she's not on the call, but the core of it seems to me to be a question we could ask about how effective has the ICANN's who is policy-making process been to date. And I almost think we could keep question 5 and make it the third question of the previous section, which talks about the confusion that we have about the policy and how it fits together with what may or may not be some broad principles and the various contracts and implementation documents. And then for a third question, we could just have the question that I think it was Kathy put forward. How effective do you think the progress and development of who is policy within ICANN has been to date? Yeah. I don't think we need to list all the successes and failures of the policy because we haven't done that anywhere else. It's a pretty high-level document we're putting forward. But we can keep the sense of, you know, ask people, how effective do you think it has been?
Mm. And I think that this is, if I could just jump in before you, James, I think that trying to take on board what both Bill and I think Kathy and Lynn are saying, you know, this is, I'm aware Bill's just dropped, but I think that Bill's point about, you know, a wariness about re-entering into the detail of all that has gone before without making it exhaustive is a worry. And equally, as Lynn says, the 4 numbered points do point to actual board decisions and actual consensus policies. James has helpfully put up a link on the chat to all of the consensus policies, I think.
what are we actually trying to do here? The proposal that Peter's made, what we're really trying to do is to draw out from people why they think that this might have got gummed up in the works of this issue. We need that information, and it might be that just transposing that question, as Peter's suggesting, might do it for us. James, sorry, I jumped the queue. Please go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. And Olaf has been very patient as well. I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments, and then I'll just back away here. Is that, you know, I think I'm seeing where Peter is going with this. I think, that, of course, we have to include Kathy in that discussion to make sure that we're correctly and accurately interpreting her intentions on this. I think we are, but I don't want to make that decision for her. I think I've heard a couple of people saying bits and pieces of policies. I think very carefully I want to just make sure that we're not short-selling these. These are the consensus policies. This is ICANN doing what ICANN is supposed to do, and that is getting together as a community and creating new policies. And this is what they have come up with. So it is an exhaustive list, and it is, the law of the land as far as registries and registrars are concerned. Let's make sure we're not short-selling these things as just little footnotes or something.
That's very helpful, James, because I'm sure I'm not alone in not having known that. And Olaf, apologies. I didn't see your hand up. Sorry, sorry to have kept you waiting. Please go ahead.
A very, very short and purely editorial thing, but... Just whatever you do with the heading, don't say new GTLD who is policies, because that can be interpreted as new. So
new
who is policies for GTLDs is fine, but new GTLD who is policies is very rich.
Yeah. My proposal is updates made to who is policy.
Yeah, for existing GTLD.
Yes.
Something like that.
I think that's a great point, Olaf.
Yeah, it is a great point. Now, we've just gone past the hour, and I'm aware that we're going to start losing people. I'm also aware that it's even deeper into the middle of the night for James. I think we've made a really good start on this document, and perhaps we could now... take this section and see whether we can't just kick around some proposals on the list and continue to renew the document. Okay, right. Sorry, I'm going to be clear. Alice, please can you produce an updated version of this document with the agreed changes put in? Recirculate, and then can I ask everybody to turn their minds particularly to this section and to the following, the following pages. We're now halfway through the document, but in fact we have a lot of changes proposed in the next bit. So I think that we'll devote a good chunk of our next call to this document as well. I'm going to try to make sure that the agenda for the next call is quite light and so that we can really get stuck into this. And hopefully we'll have the East Coasters and Omar from Brazil on that call as well. So that's my proposal. I'd like to thank you all for your input. I think this has been a very, very valuable discussion. If we can do that and prepare for the next call.
Thank you, Emily. Good
Thank
night.
You very much. Thanks and good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Operator.
Left.